Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
I got a picture up here about the Bible College. I think they're going to put it up. This is the Bible College that we went to. You can see the little sign there. Abundant Life Foundation, where we went to in Chiang Mai, Thailand. And I wanted to show you that because the interesting story about the couple is missionary couple, and we here at the church, because of your giving, because of all of our corporate giving, we're able to sow seed into this wonderful ministry in Thailand. There's a couple, Kathy and Charlie, who decided God called them to Thailand almost 40 years ago, and he called them to start a Bible college. And you know, within 17 days of when they arrived, they started that Bible college. And their first class, a small group of students, there was a three-month Bible college. And I share that with you because while we were there, we got to meet and work with some of these graduates who graduated almost 40 years ago from this Bible college. And the interesting thing is some of these were like local leaders, were overseers of the Bible college. Some of them were overseers and evangelists in the villages. We got to meet in the province. The leader of that province, the second in charge, was a Bible college graduate. And then we got to meet someone like at the state level, which you'd call the state level in Thailand, and really high up, who was also a graduate of the Bible college. And so God has been using this fruitfulness of this couple, not just to start the Bible college, but they also have three children's homes. They also have a ministry where they help people to become coffee farmers and to enhance their standard of living, because there are many very, very poor villages there, and we went to some of those while we were there. And so their ministry is to teach them to farm coffee. And one of the stories is this farmer who's been doing this now for several years, has five children, and his four children all work in the village as farmers. But when Jason, one of the leaders from this ministry, went into the village, he said, "I have to tell you something. I have to introduce you to my fifth child, tell you about my fifth child. Because of the farming industry, this is the first person in our family that's been able to leave the village and go to university." Raising up the entire economic standard of that area because of the seeds of obedience that were planted in Kathy and Charlie's life because they listened to God over 40 years ago. And I had asked Shane to make this background, and you'll see that there's a tree there, because as I ministered in Thailand and had the opportunity to preach the word, can we take down the abundant living picture? Thanks, Jason. These trees, I was asked to preach the word in a Karen church. They don't speak Thai. It's a village. A lot of the villages have different languages. In this particular village, they spoke Karen, and the church was outside the area, the city of Millinois. It was called Talapur House Church, and God gave me a message for them out of Matthew chapter 13 and the parable of the mustard seed. And as I began to unpack and teach them, God was giving me the vision, a picture of the large tree that had grown over the years because of the seed of their life that Kathy and Charlie had allowed God to sow. That he had allowed them to sow their lives into Thailand, and out of it, he brought forth this large tree. And this large tree's branches represented the coffee work, the children's homes, the Bible college, the teams of evangelists that go into these far remote villages, bringing the gospel to people who the name of Jesus is so foreign to, right? An incredible large tree. And so it was quite a picture, quite an opportunity to be there and to preach at this church. I think we have some pictures, a collage there. Well, we can do this one first. So these two people that you see in the middle, this is he's at the state level, government level, came down and thanked us so much for working on a widow's home that we did there. He's a believer, one of the first graduates from that graduating class. And then the lady next to him, not yet a believer, but also a government official, so impressed and thankful for the work that we came to do. Over here on the side, a third person from your left, also one of the first year graduates. Over here on the right, second person, also one of those first year graduates. Just amazing fruitfulness that they are doing there. So let's go ahead and go to the next. So this is the church, the Karen church. There's a sign in front of the church. Some of the children from the children's home who came to sing and lead worship, our wonderful rock team that you are part of sending out there. So this is the church that when I got to preach at there about the mustard seed. So let me read to you the scripture that God had given me for that day. It's in Matthew 13, 31 and 32, and it says, here's another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and the birds come and make nests in its branches. Now, one of the things about the scripture, and Pastor Dan has told us this many times, is that there's one interpretation, but many applications. So you may be saying, are you going to preach the message that you preached in that Corinth church? Absolutely not. Because even though God wanted me to bring the same scripture, he had a totally different application for us today. And because it's so specific to this message, I believe that God, and I say this before God and with the fear of God, that God is going to speak to some of you so directly, so distinctly, that your life is going to be changed because of what you hear tonight. So turn on your ears and pay attention and see if this message is not what God has and what you've been waiting to hear from God for your life. It's just for you tonight. So to understand this parable of the mustard seed, you've got to understand the two parables that came before it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some simple, important takeaways from those first two parables so that we can understand the message that God has for us in the mustard seed tonight. In the first parable, Jesus explains these parables and tells us what their main point is. And so I'm going to take away just what we need tonight. Now, in Bible college, I spend like 30 minutes unpacking one parable. We're not going to do that tonight. If you want all the ins and outs and details, sign up for Bible college. Registrations are open. All right? So I'm just going to give you, right, the down to what we need for tonight. In the first parable, Jesus tells us that the seed that's being sown is the word of the kingdom planted in the hearts of men. And when the seed of the word of God, the word of the kingdom, lands in good soil, a good heart, a ready heart, then it produces fruitful children of God, right? That people are converted and they believe in Jesus when the word reaches them. It says this in verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much has been planted. So we know from that first parable that the seed is the word and it's sown in the hearts of men. But then Jesus shares the second parable and he says that he, the Son of Man, is sowing good seed into the world. And he goes on to tell us and interpret his parable and say, the good seed are children of the kingdom. The good seed being planted in the world are the children of God. And they're being planted by Jesus. Now that we know these two things, that he's calling the word seed and he's calling his children seed, we can go to the third parable. The Son of Man is the farmer. Well, verse 37 says this. The Son of Man is the farmer. That Jesus called himself the Son of Man, who plants good seed. So he doesn't just plant any kind of seed. He plants good seed, the good soil that received the word of God. And the field that he's planting in is the world. The good seed represents the people of the kingdom. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ in this room tonight, then you are the seed that God has planted into the world. And then it goes on to say the weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. We're not going to unpack that tonight. We're just going to stay focused on the two parts that help us understand the mustard seed. Here's what we know about farmers. When they plant intentionally. God's kingdom strategy is to plant his kids into the world. And he does so intentionally, which means that you are living in this time and this place, sown into the world with God's intention. So if you're looking for your purpose and you're looking for meaning, you found it. There's nothing accidental about you being right here, right now. God is intentional with his kids. Now, that does not mean that everything that you lived, everything that you are living, everything that you have experienced is from God. We live in a world that is under the influence of the evil one. We live in a world that is full of people who are led by their own selfish desires. People who follow demonic influences, right? People who are making choices that are unjust and unrighteous and just plain evil. Even so, even though all of that is true, you are not in the wrong place nor in the wrong period of time. God is intentional. God is able and has chosen to sow you into such a time as this for his glory. So let's get back to the parables. The word is in our hearts, and it was fruitful, and we're sown into the world to be fruitful. So the mustard seed says this in verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. You know, one interpretation and many applications. One application could be that this is talking about the kingdom of God as a whole. That God has planted the kingdom of God in the world as it is. And the kingdom of God over centuries and centuries and centuries, the church of God has grown to have many branches and many denominations. And throughout history, right, many birds have come and landed in it. What does it mean? In the Bible, birds can represent both good and evil. Right? It can be a blessing to the church of God, but also a blessing to those who don't know God. Think about it like this. Think about somebody who comes out of the church like Billy Graham, a name most of us might know. Billy Graham was known as being pastor to the presidents. Why? Because as a man of God, representing the kingdom of God, he was still able to bless and lead those who did not even honor or know God. Think about right here, we're in the city of Loma Linda. We have Loma Linda University Medical Center, planted by Christians to build an organization to help and to bless. It's not only Christians that are allowed to go to Loma Linda University Medical Center, right? But the birds of all types, right? All people can come and be blessed. Right here in the United States of America, many, many years ago, when children were in child labor 7 days a week, the Church of Jesus Christ, the women of God, rose up out of the church and started doing Sunday schools and started teaching the kids and started providing education. And that education has grown into our education system. Why? Because the church of God is large upon the earth, right? And we bless both those who know God and those who don't, just like you. The joy that you carry, the goodness that you carry, the truth that you carry, the presence of God that you carry, you don't keep it all bottled up until you meet another Christian, right? You're shining the light of God to the world around you. And that's one way we can look at this parable. But we can also look at it as individuals. In the Bible, trees represent people. Trees represent kingdoms. Trees represent a lot of different sizes of people or groups of people. You know, I think about our own founding pastors here at the Rock Church. When I think about Kathy and Charlie in Thailand, I can't help but think about Jim and Deborah Cobray, who decided a long, long time ago, almost 40 years also, right, that they were going to pastor God's people. They didn't know how or why or how they could be pastors, but they were going to be obedient to the call of God. And they were going to do it and do it and do it until they got and did what God had called them to do, right? And we've got a picture up here that just represents some of the ways that the branches of the tree that they planted with their obedience have impacted the world around us. I talked about Thailand and Vietnam. We also went to El Salvador. We also went to Mexico, but we also went down the street. We also gave out food in the back lot. We also did Loving My City, right? We also went in and blessed the schools. We also have an education program. We're also doing ministry. We're also seeing people come and have their lives changed, right? And all of this is fruit of those branches of people who were obedient to God such a long time ago. You can take the picture down. So I had him put another tree because that's another example of people who sowed their life, allowed God to sow their life in a time and a place in such a way that he was able to grow up a very large tree with very large branches so that the birds of the air could land in it. And then I said, hey, Shane, can you connect the middle? Because for just a minute, we were there in Thailand where those two trees met, right? And because of our giving to missions, they meet constantly. One ministry meets the others, and there's life-giving. Trees are amazing things. Why? Because not only do birds come and rest, they're safe. I remember in Thailand, monsoon season, when it would rain, we would find a tree before we could get our rain gear on. Right, because the tree would bring some protection. Right, it does so for animals. It brings food. Right, it brings fruitfulness. There's so many amazing things, and God uses his words not sparingly, not accidentally, but he's serious when he says, right, these trees are life-giving. These trees are essential to the kingdom of God. And if we don't take a kingdom perspective to our life and see the potential that is in our life, we're probably limiting our vision. We're probably limiting our faith. We're probably limiting our hope. We're probably limiting our motivation of what God can and wants to and will do through our lives. But if we can see that the smallest seed in the garden can form the largest plant and produce so much fruit, maybe we can get a vision that God wants to do something significant in my life and in your life. How many times have we wanted to do something for God and been discouraged? Discouraged by our own measuring of its outcome or its value or its worth. What if Pastor Jim had said, you know what? I've been preaching to this empty room, to my mama and my wife and one other person for 3 years. I'm done. He didn't. He told us he preached to empty seats year after year after year after year. Right? And then the plan of God came to fruition. Right? So many times we measure what God can do by our own understanding. Well, Pope, we focus on temporary or immediate fruit. What's going to happen right now? How much good will it do right now? And we fail to grasp what Jesus was teaching us, which is the supernatural aspect to seed in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, obedience with our life is a seed of faith. I'm going to say that again. Obedience with your life is a seed of faith. When Jesus introduced the kingdom, he used nature itself to help his listeners gain a picture. He was introducing a kingdom that was completely different from what had been, was completely different from what people had expected, right? Jesus didn't come to establish a kingdom that would reign using the systems of men and the governments of this world. Those systems rule from outward power. They rule from outward force. They rule from outward regulations. He was introducing and explaining a kingdom that would be called an upside-down kingdom. Why upside down? Because it was the opposite of what people thought it would be. And it's the opposite of many times what you and I think it should be. Right? Because it's the opposite of how the systems of this world work. My point tonight in Jesus' message is that the kingdom doesn't work like natural things. Kingdom things don't work like natural things. In the natural, if you do a small thing, you expect a small result. But in the kingdom, there is the supernatural. Instead of a natural result, you see supernatural results, right? It's super because it's unexpected. Like, wow. That was super. I didn't know that was going to happen. Right? I can tell you right now that the people who planted these trees that were represented today, they didn't know that was going to happen. Right? But God knew. God knew. And God wanted obedience. Ephesians 3:20 is a scripture many of us quote. It says, now to him, speaking of God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Now, in case you just think that I read that in the Amplified Bible, which adds a bunch of words, I didn't. This isn't Amplified. This is just the good old Word of God as God intended it. Far more abundantly beyond. I think he was trying to make a point. All that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. When we let the power of God work within us, this scripture will be true. When we let ourselves be planted by God according to his plan, incredible, supernatural, far abundant, far above, abundantly beyond all that you ask or think or I ask or think can happen. When we're functioning in kingdom principles, we don't know the end. We don't understand the outcome will be. The mustard seed parable teaches us that in the kingdom there is unexpected growth. But we obey and we allow ourselves to be planted by God through our obedience. It's like this, God, you said to do this, so I'm going to do it. It's actually not that complicated, is it? Even when there's doubt, even when there's uncertainty, even when there's a lack of confidence, but what is all of that in the face of obedience? Insignificant. We don't have to understand it. We don't have to know how it's going to function. We don't know how we're going to pay for this building. We don't have to understand how things are going to work. We just have to be obedient. Matthew 28 is another parable. I just want to share it with you quickly. It says, but what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. And the son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and he went anyway. Then the father told the other son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't go. And Jesus asked the questions, which of the two obeyed his father? I'll ask you, which of the two obeyed his father? The one that said, I won't go and went, or the one that said, I will go and didn't go? The first. And that's what the disciples said. And Jesus agreed. Right? Kingdom seed requires obedience, not words. Actions requires us to do what God has called us to do. If we're going to produce supernatural results, it's not about lip service. Lip service is not going to produce supernatural results. Just saying what we think God wants to hear is insignificant, and I would go as far as to say disobedient. Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because it's about our actions. It's about our obedience. If we're going to live life God's way instead of our way, there's got to be obedience. God wants us to be sown deep down into the heart of his plan, his will, and his purpose. He wants to take your life and put it deep into the earth so that it will bring forth and produce a life-giving person, community, organization, business, neighborhood. I don't know. But God knows what that seed and what is in the seed that is your life. Philippians 2:13 says, God is working in you. God is giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. God turns the seed of your life into whatever he wants it to be for his purposes and for his glory, right? Not for our good, what seems like our good, what seems like our want, although in the end, it will turn it out for our good, right? He wants us to become all that he dreams we could be. And when we see people who've allowed themselves to be sowed in the ground of this earth, in God's plans, and bring forth a beautiful tree, we should be inspired, we should be motivated, and we should begin to dream and ask God, what is it that you have me to do? He's a God that loves us so, loved us so much that he laid down his life. He carried the penalty for our sin and our shortcomings, our rebellion, our ignorance, and every evil that humanity has produced. That's all done. So our job now is to say, hey, God, you've done the hard work. Now what do you want me to do? How can I multiply and be all that you've wanted me to be? The parable tells us that the mustard seed was sown by God in his field. My question for you tonight is, are you allowing yourself to be sown by God? Are we on God's agenda or our own agenda? We live in an age of comfort. Are we limiting God to what we find comfortable? The reality is that seeds aren't sown in the sunlight. They're sown deep beneath the earth where there's dark. Seeds aren't sown when they're alive and vibrant. You know that a seed has to die before it becomes fruitful. Maybe you have all your plans and all of your agenda, all of your life and all of your timeline, and everything that you want to do in your retirement years, or in your career years, or in your college years, or in your youth years, and you've got it all planned out, and you're like, God, this is a good plan. Come and bless it. You're laughing, but you know that's the majority of Christians live. I've got a good plan, God. Come alongside. Help me through it. And you know, if that's all we're going to do, God is good and he's going to come alongside. And he's going to bless you and he's going to come and provide for you and make sure that you're not destitute and prosper your hand in the things that you do, because there's promises for that. But we're living on a low level. God wants incredible, amazing things from every one of us, not just some of us, from every one of us. He's a God that's abundantly above. For every single individual, not just an occasional obedient individual. So my question to you tonight is, are you allowing yourself to be sown by God? The process of growth and becoming a large tree is natural in the right environment. But just because it's natural, it doesn't make it easy. In the process, I'm going to tell you, there is a breaking, there is a shedding, there is an opening of that seed, there is a birthing of something new and strange, and the roots, when they're coming out, they don't look like the fruit. They don't even look like the tree. First, they have to grow in the darkness, unseen, grow deep roots until they can drink and receive life from the water that's around it. And maybe you're in that process, and I want to tell you tonight, don't give up. If you feel like, God, I've been doing what you called me to do. I've been walking how you called me to do. I don't see the fruitfulness. God, maybe that's where you are in the ground. You're planted exactly where you need to be. And you're learning to drink and you're getting strong and you're beginning to produce so that God can do what he wants to do in your life. But if you're just bringing God along on your life journey, just asking for help when you need it, just asking for blessings for all of your good ideas, tonight's a night where you can turn. Tonight's a night where you can say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do things your way. God, I'm tired of getting a little bit of fruit. I want to get a lot of fruit. God, I want to have a life that is ready for supernatural growth. I don't want to just plant myself. I want you to be planted. I want to live that life when I look back at 80, 90, 100 years old and go, wow, I could have never imagined that. I could have never imagined by making that change at 60, God would do this at 80. Never imagined making that change at 40, God would do this at 60. I could never imagine by making that commitment as a 20-year-old that God would do this as a 50-year-old. Your age isn't important. God is a redeemer. If you've wasted 5 years, God will redeem it. If you've wasted 30 years building your own kingdom, God will redeem it. God is a restorer of all things. There's nothing wasted. I'll tell you right now, if I had planned my life, I would have found a local missions-focused church. And I would have asked them to train me to become a missionary. And I would have asked them to send me down to Central or South America so I could plant a Bible college. Because that's what was in my heart. If I had done what I wanted to do, but I didn't, I walked on the journey. I put myself in university to use the gifts that God had given me. And I stayed in university and I studied until God said to do something else. And right before my senior year, getting ready to graduate, God says, go do something else. And I go do something else for a year. And in that year, God says, Teresa, you're going to go to Bible college. And I said, I'm going to go home and graduate. No, I didn't. I said, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'll drop out of college. Yeah, I'll go here, and I'll go to Bible college. And when I made that commitment and when I said that yes, I didn't know if I'd ever go back. And you say, wow, you would have wasted 3 years of your studies. No. Not 3 years, 6 years. Who's an undergrad for 6 years? This girl. Why? You don't want to know, right? But the point is, it would have been 6 years. And I had to go back and do a seventh year. No, I didn't fail any classes. I didn't get any D's. I just liked them all. And when you like them all, you just take them all, right? So that was my problem. So don't be thinking, oh, Pastor Teresa was such a bad student. I was not. Here's my point. My point is that when you're planted, it means that you're letting God sow you where he wants, when he wants. That's my point. My plans didn't matter. I didn't say, but I'm almost there, God, let me finish, and then I'll come back and I'll do what you called me to do. God said, right now, drop everything that you're doing and go to Bible college. And my answer was, yes, God, because I want to be fruitful, because I want to be obedient, because I want to live according to my best understanding of what God is calling me to do. I wanted, even at that age, for God to plan my life and not for me to plan my own life. Because I can tell you today, it would be different. The fruit would be less, much, much, much less. Right? Let's take a look, another example, which I think amplifies these scriptures that we looked at in Matthew in the book of Genesis. We're going to look at the life of Isaac, Abraham's son. Just a little picture of a moment in Isaac's life. Because God wants to sow every one of us into his world for his glory. It was true back in the Old Testament as it is true today. So Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says, a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. Abraham is Isaac's father. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. Now you got to understand that Isaac is now part of God's chosen people. God has a covenant with his father, Abraham. And as such, he walked in a unique relationship with God, just like you. You are sons of Abraham according to the promise. You walk in a unique relationship with God. And Isaac remembered the promise of God to his father Abraham. He remembered that his father had left Egypt in a time of famine, and he was now in a time of famine, and Isaac was now in a time of famine, right? So he set out to do the same thing his father did. My father went to Egypt during a famine, so I'm going to go to Egypt during a famine, right? My father is in relationship with God. That sounds like a good idea. That's the example I have before me. Verse 2 says this, "When the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go to Egypt, but do as I tell you." So Isaac had a choice. Isaac could do what he thought was best. He could do what his father had done, or he could stop right where God spoke to him in the city of Gerar, about halfway between where he started in Egypt. Where he started was the famine. He had now left the famine. He's in Gerar, headed to Egypt, and God says, don't go to Egypt, but do as I tell you. If you and I are going to be sown into the world how God wants, the first thing that we need to keep in mind is that we need to go when God says go. Go when God says go. Isaac was listening to the word of the Lord. He did not continue on to Egypt, but he went to Gerar where God had told him to go. God will show you his way instead of having the life your way if you can listen and go when God says go. In the natural, for me to go to Bible college, it was impossible. I had already been living in Sweden for a year as an exchange student, and according to them, there was no possible way for you to come back for a second year. But when God told me, I sat down and I wrote down every single thing that God was going to have to do. And you know, the paper in Sweden is much longer than the paper in America. And I made a long list all the way down that paper, and I said, yes, God, I will go. But in case you didn't know, here's all the things you got to do. Miracle, 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 miracle. And in my opinion, the greatest of those was going to be to changing the heart of the leadership at my church at home. Because they had a doctrine that women cannot be in ministry. And so there would be no reason for me to go to Bible college. That would be ridiculous. Because I would never work in ministry. That to me was a bigger challenge than any other, because God was going to have to turn their hearts to get a yes. And I, ever since I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, has always been submitted to my pastoral covering. I'm not a fool. I'm a single woman. I ain't going to be out there for the enemy to attack. I'm going to do what my pastors tell me to do. You know what? And that's the same attitude I had there. So I knew God was going to have to do something big, because they were not in alignment with this. He had to do other miracles. Like the government said, when I went there the first year, you have to prove that you have $10,000 in the bank. When you're coming to a family like mine, you ain't got two pennies to rub together. Pastor Deborah used to say, we don't have two nickels to rub together. Well, we didn't have two pennies to rub together. All right? So that wasn't going to happen. But for my first year, because I was going to university, the school wrote it off through student loans. But now I want to come back for a second year, which you're not allowed to come back for a second year. But if you come back for any year, you got to show $10,000 in the bank, and that wasn't going to happen because I probably had negative 13 cents in the bank. So impossible, right? And there was a bunch of series of things that God had to do to make it happen, right? In the natural, it was impossible. But what does God ask? Teresa, make all these things happen? Teresa, make all these miracles? Teresa, convince your pastors? Teresa, go and try to earn all this money? And I could have done it in the natural. I could have said, okay, God, I have a better idea. You know, I'm about to finish university, right? So I go back home, finish my year of school, work a little bit, save the money, then reapply. All will be well, and all you have to do is take care of my pastors. I can take care of the rest, right? I mean, that's an idea. How many times do we do that? God, I don't think how this can work, so let me give you a better idea. Let me figure out a way for you, Lord. But God is saying, let me plant you. Be obedient. Go when I say go. And that's exactly what happened. and a stream of miracles, too long to tell you all of them in the next 20 minutes, happened over the next 6 months. And God knocked everything off of that list, including being blessed by the leadership of my church, including them saying, hey, you know what? We're going to give you $100 a month. What on earth? That was amazing. You said, oh, good, you had something to live on. No, I had bills here, so my friend took the $100 and paid the bills here. That money never made it to Sweden, but God took care of everything over there. What's our lesson? Go when God says go. If you want to be planted where he wants you to be planted, how he wants you to be planted. Let's look at Isaac again. Verse 4, God says to Isaac, I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Isaac had left a famine. He had left the familiarity of his home, the familiarity of Egypt, the security of Egypt. And when God told him what he was going to do, when God brought a promise to Isaac's table, God is saying to Isaac, I want you to obey me. I want you to sow your life here in Gerar for this season. Not because it makes sense, not because you know the people, not because it's going to be easy, not because they're going to be nice to you, because if you know the story, you know none of those things happened in Gerar. But I want you to do it because I'm telling you to do it, and here is my promise of provision if you will be obedient. God does the same thing to us. Isaac wasn't going to be promised because he copied what his dad did. His dad went to Egypt to wait out the famine. He was going to be prosperous, and he was going to be taken care of because he would trust God with his life. He trusted God with his family. He trusted God with his future. That seed of faith that he had in the Word of God was about to bring about supernatural results. Obedience is like that. Pastor, I thought it was going to be easy. It's not easy. But God is there and God is with you. When God has given you a word, God will back it up with his promises. And if you can hold tight to that word, if you can hold tight to that promises, through the most difficult times, God is faithful. I'm not telling you it's not going to be hard, because it is. You know, when the seed goes into the ground, it's dark. You don't see what's going on. Your seed has to crack open. The roots have to grow out. None of that is pleasurable or fruitful in the moment. But obedience will break. Birth will bring to pass incredible trees. So what do we have to do? We have to go when God says go, but we also have to hold tight. Hold tight his word. Because if you don't hold tight to his word, you know what's going to happen when difficult times happen? You're going to jump out of the ground and go chase something more comfortable. Let me tell you, when I was there over winter break that year, I was in Sweden in Bible college. It's winter break. I don't remember how long we had off, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. But I was in a condition in my apartment, thank God I had a roof over my head, where I had no money, no money. And I had an option: call my dad, call my family, figure out a way, find a ticket, get me home. Because I had no money. You're like, you don't really need money. Well, how do you eat? I had no money, right? And I had no transportation. My bike had broken, and everybody rides a bike there. The semester was going to start in January, and because I had no money, I had no tuition. And where I was living, I could live until January, and then I had no rent. So I had no food, no tuition, no rent, no bike. But I had two legs, and I knew how to use them. Check off the bike. Boy, did I do a lot of walking. You know what else I learned in that time? That if you go to the store, and you have just a kroner, 10 cents back then, you could buy a cabbage at the farmer's market. Probably cost $1.50 now, right? But you could buy a cabbage. And you chop that cabbage up and you put it in a pot of water with a little salt and pepper. You could eat for 5 days. Why? Because the circumstances weren't ideal, but I had a word from God. God had told me to go to Bible college. He didn't say go one semester and then go home when things get difficult. He said, go to Bible college. And there I was in that apartment. My roommate was out of town with her family for those weeks. And I was like, I trust God. I trust God. There's enough nutrition in this pot. I trust God. Somehow money's going to show up for my tuition when class starts. I don't know what's going to happen. But after those couple of weeks, my roommate comes home And she gets home and she says, oh, I got to give you something. And I said, what? And she gives me an envelope. It's sealed. And she said, I was told, in the city she lives in, Yevle, I was told to give this to you with an apology. And I said, oh, why? Because I had been in Yevle a couple weeks before for Christmas. They said God told them to give you this at Christmas, and they didn't do it. But now here it is. I opened it up, and there were 4,000 kroner in there. You don't know what a kroner is, but it's about $450. Yeah, enough for my tuition and enough for food. What else do you need? What else do you need? Right? Because I had the promises of God. So if we hold tight to his word, when God has planted us and things are difficult and it seems like all hell is breaking loose, we will stay planted long enough to grow some roots so that God can do something supernatural and amazing with your life. Last week, I got to teach Bible students in Chiang Mai. I would have never imagined that as a young girl who was obeying God and allowing God to sow my life where he wanted, how he wanted. Genesis 26, verse 12, it says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord had blessed him. Why? Because God had told him to live in this land for this season. He had told him, I want you to live in Gerar as a foreigner. I will be with you and I will bless you. What was God saying? God was saying, Isaac, do this right now in this land and in this season. You weren't going to stay there forever, but I want you to do what I'm asking you to do right now. God says to go where he wants us to go, and he wants us to hold tight to his word, but he also wants us to sow when he says to sow. And that's what Isaac did. God told him, I want you to live here. That means he's got to plant some crops because he's going to be here for a while. And God gave him a 100-fold increase over what he expected. When we're planted, we have got to stay obedient. We have got to sow where God says to sow. When I got to Bible college, I told you this story before, but it's still applicable. When I got to Bible college, I got to Bible college to live a year in Sweden with $300 in my pocket. People had blessed me, given me money, and I was like, yep. Of course, that's not enough for like 1 month's rent, right? But that's what I had. That's what I had. And one of the roommates where I was staying, she had a need. Her need was internet. And a whole year's worth of internet cost the equivalent of $300 back then. And I remember her like, oh, I need this, da, 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 da. And I remember God saying, sow it. And I was like, listen, Lord. You called me to Bible college. It's August. I'll be here till June. I have $300 in my pocket and no more money coming from anywhere, and I cannot work. It's illegal to work in this country. So how am I going to give her my $300 for it? She's not a starving poor child. She wants internet. Right? It didn't make any sense, but it doesn't have to make sense because God wants obedience, not for us to figure things out. So I took that $300 and I said, Cecilia, get your internet. Like if I was pulling off the top of stack of hundreds, you know? Get your internet. I got plenty where that came from. You know? I didn't have anything where that came from. But here's the deal. I sowed when God said so. And you know, that year, I had rent paid every month. I did go a couple weeks on cabbage soup, but that's okay too, right? I did travel to Israel. Stayed in five-star hotels for 10 days. I didn't pay for it a dime. I traveled up and down the coast of Sweden. I saw beautiful things. What? God paid for it all. He said, you give me $300, I'm going to give you thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands experiences, and I'm going to sow you into the world my way because of your obedience. What do I want to tell you tonight, and what do I think God has got a message for some of you tonight? He wants to sow your life. Like the mustard seed. Small, you think it's a small seed, and it is. Just one life. But my God, in the kingdom, there's supernatural growth. And one life of obedience, and one life of obedience can grow into a ginormous tree and be so fruitful, so life-giving, so protective, so producing for the world around it, if you will let God sow your life. Choose His way, even if it's the hard way. Choose His plan, even if it's the hard plan. All He's asking for is obedience. And if you and I will obey, the whole world around us will be able to taste and see that God is good. And they will know Him. They will know Him because of your fruit, because of what comes out of your life. There's no insignificant person in this room tonight. Every single one of us, God has a plan. God has a design and God has a destiny. But maybe you're in the room tonight. You don't know God. I mean, you know the songs, you know the words. You know church life. You know religion. But you don't know God. You've never received that seed in your heart in such a way that it became fruitful and you were transformed. So I want to ask a question of everyone in this room tonight. I want you to check your heart. I'm going to ask you a really, really simple question. And I want you to answer that question in your heart. Actually, do me a favor and close your eyes just so you're not distracted about with anything around you. Most important question anybody could ever ask you. Most important question about your life on earth and your life after earth. It's a very simple question. It's this. I don't want you to answer me. I want you to answer yourself. Be honest with yourself. Nobody else is going to know your answer, just you and God. If you were to die today, we know with everything happening in our world that death is just a moment away from any one of us. Would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open your eyes in hell? Don't brush aside the question. Answer it in your heart. If you were to die today, would you open your eyes in heaven or would you open your eyes in hell? Maybe you said, I think I'll open my eyes in heaven. I hope I open my eyes in heaven. I mean, I'm here at church. I've been coming to church for a long time. I visit church. I've been watching some podcasts from Christian people. Right? I have a Bible. I do good things. I'm generally a better person than I am a bad person. I try my best. I'm kind. I'm nice. I'm good. So I think I'll go to heaven. Well, let me tell you the truth tonight. God gave us this book to tell us how things work. And in this book, the Bible, He's very clear about how we get to heaven. And the one thing that you won't find is all good people go to heaven. If you're as good as you can be, you get to go to heaven. Actually, what you will find is that our good works, our good effort before His holiness, the Bible says it's as filthy rags because He's so holy. So if we can't be good enough or go to church enough to get to heaven, then how do we get there? How could you possibly get to a place where you could answer that question about heaven and hell and say, yes, I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. It's easy. Jesus came to tell us how to do it, and He came to make the way so that we could do it. Jesus said this. He said, you must be born again. Your old self will never make it to heaven, but He's giving you an offer, and He says, you can be born again. You can be made a brand new creation, a brand new person from the inside out. And you can do that because I came and lived my life and I took all of the cost of your sin, all of the cost of your brokenness, all of the cost of your problems, all of the cost of your bad choices. I took it on myself and I give you a brand new life. I invite you to be born again from the inside out, born again in your inner man. Unless we're born again, Jesus says, we cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you want to answer that question tonight and say, yes, that's me. Well, what does born again mean? Born again means that you're surrendering all of your heart and all of your life to God. You're saying, God, I've been doing things my way. I've been trying to be good. I've been doing the religious thing. I've been watching the right thing. I've been trying, or I've been totally wrong. But today, it doesn't matter what my past decisions were. Today I choose to follow you. Today I choose to give you all of my heart and all of my life. The Bible tells us this. It says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God rose him from the dead, we will be saved. It means we will be born again. So I don't want to send you out of here tonight. Our pastors don't want to send you out of here tonight without giving you the opportunity to be 100% sure that on the day you close your eyes and you leave this earth and you enter eternity, that you're going to enter eternity with God and not an eternity in hell, which is separation from God. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm going to go one, two, three, and I'm going to hit my hands together. When I hit my hands together, if you're ready to surrender all of your heart and all of your life, you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, become born again, I want you to raise your hand. When I hit three, I want you to just pop your hand in the air. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. The Bible says that if we confess Jesus before men, that he will confess us before our Father. So you're saying today by raising your hand, that's me. I want to confess Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I'm tired of doing things my own way. I'm going to start doing things God's way. I'm going to surrender all of my heart and life. I'm going to be born again and begin to live this life for Jesus. All right? I'm going to count to three, and then I want you to raise your hand when I clap my hands. One, you've been running from God instead of to God. He's calling you tonight. Two, you've been doing more of your own thing instead of God's thing. He's calling you tonight. Three, just pop your hands in the air so I can see them and acknowledge you. I see you back in the family room. I see the two hands right here. I see the two hands right here. I see your hands right here. Both hands, full surrender. Amen. Anyone else tonight? Just wave your hands and say, that's me. That's me. I surrender. I surrender to Jesus, all of my heart and all of my life. I want to do things his way and not my way. If that's you, actually all of us, would you stand up? Would you stand to your feet for just a moment? We're not quite done tonight, but I want to do this right now. If that's you and you're surrendering all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus right now, would you do me a favor and just grab everything that's with you? Grab your friend, grab a book bag, grab whatever you bought with you, your sweater, and go ahead. Don't leave right now. Don't leave church. Don't distract anybody from giving their heart and their life by going the wrong way. Go ahead and come down to the front right now. Come down to the front. Come down to the front. If you're ready to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus, if you raise your hand and you're like, that's me. If they're young and they're ready to surrender all of their heart and their life, bring them down, parents. Don't hold them back. I surrendered all of my heart and life first as an 8-year-old kid. Come on down right now. Come on down. Come on down. Church, let's be the church. Go ahead and nudge gently that person next to you and say, do you want me to go with you? Do you need me to go with you? I'll walk down that aisle with you. You don't have to do it alone. I'm not going to embarrass you tonight. We're going to pray with you and help you to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Keep it going, church. Keep it going. Let them know that you're celebrating them, that you're welcoming them. I know more of you raised your hand. If that's you, come on down right now. You don't get saved by raising your hand. You get saved by inviting Jesus into your heart and into your life. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. If that's you still, come on down. It's okay. Keep coming. Keep coming. We're welcome. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. We're waiting for you. Come on down. Come on down. Nothing's more important than this right here. Nothing's more important than this moment right here. If you mean business with God, he means business with you. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. If you invite him into your heart and your life today, and you mean that, he's going to come in. And he's going to transform you from the inside out. And you're going to look back at this day, July 9th, 2025, and you're going to be like, that's the day I was born again. That's the day I received Jesus into my heart. And that's the day I knew that when I die, I'm going to spend an eternity with him. And my life was never the same. We want to invite you, after you pray this prayer and receive Jesus in your heart, to keep coming back. Keep coming back. Don't let the world, don't let the things out there distract you. God wants to grow you up. He wants to put his word in you. He wants you to experience the fullness of being planted with him and growing into all God dreams about you, all God put into you, all the gifts and the talents that God has given you. All right, it's never too late. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. So let's pray together. I'm going to pray with some words to express what's happening between you and God. If you miss a word, it's okay. It's not about the words. It's about your heart condition. And the church is going to join us because they're excited and they support you and they want you to know that they're here for you. All right? So dear Jesus, I come to you tonight and I surrender all of my heart and all of my life. I ask that you forgive me of my sin. I choose today to turn away from sin and turn towards you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might be born again into a new creation from the inside out. I receive you, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence. Thank you for giving me new life. From this day on, I will serve you. I will follow you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. From this day on, everything's different. We want to put in your hands a wonderful 35-day, one page a day reading. It's a gift, okay? So that you can get connected and start getting grounded. We also want to give you a friend. So Steve Kortner, my friend, is going to take you for just a couple of minutes. We're still going to be here. He's going to bring you right back. He's going to give you that material and explain some things to you, okay? We are celebrating your decision tonight. God bless you. Just follow Steve right here.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.